11. We're going to read it responsibly, please. Once you find the chapter and the verse, if I could ask you to stand, please, if you're able, to give honor to the Word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. I'm going to read the odd verses. If you can read the even verses with me, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Bible says in verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the reading of your word. And I pray, Father, that you would use the message this morning to speak to the hearts of your people. I pray that you would give Pastor Myers wisdom as he preach your word. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, please.
Atonement Day is at hand. A little boy and his lamb make their way to the tabernacle door. As the lamb was led away, a tear streamed down his face as he watched from a distance. You could hear him say, "My little lamb, you cannot stay, for my sin the price you must pay, a sacrifice that is so great. My little lamb, you must go away." God looked down from heaven's throne. He saw us hopeless and alone. To redeem us, he would have to send his son. As Jesus left that holy place, as a picture of God's grace, all of heaven then grew silent. Could it be that God would say, "My holy lamb, you cannot stay. Man, to redeem the price you must pay, my only son I will give away. Oh, precious lamb, you must go today. Oh, Calvary's lamb, Calvary's lamb, because he bought me, I am saved, I am saved. Almighty lamb, I'm so glad you came, my every sin. You have washed away. You saved my soul. Now I can say, Almighty Lamb, I'll see you someday. I'll see you someday. I'll see you someday.
All right, thank you for that. We are in the book of Ecclesiastes. We started several weeks ago on a series we're calling from Ecclesiastes, the autobiography of a confused Christian. If we looked at Solomon and we looked at his life, and again, as I've mentioned, many people don't understand that at the end of Solomon's life, it didn't go very well. Solomon had actually kind of turned away and to be real honest to you, was almost apostate to the faith. He was serving false gods because of the little compromises he made in his life, and of course all the ladies that he married took his heart away. So if you read Ecclesiastes, sometimes you can look at it and you can get a little bit say, man, this is kind of depressing, it's kind of discouraging, it doesn't seem like everything's going well. Well, was it? Because Solomon was not living right. Solomon, if you think about it, he was one of the few individuals that would be completely free to indulge himself in anything he desired or anything that he wanted. There are people that would do that, but they do it to a certain extent, but they don't have the means necessary to indulge to a great, great extent. Solomon did have that, and he lived as freely as he wanted. But when he got to the end, he found only frustration, disappointment, and misery, as he had this futile chase to find purpose in his life. We must understand as Christians that just the fact that we became a Christian does not mean that we will instantly have happiness. It doesn't work like that. Now, when we got saved, we had the opportunity now to have joy and happiness like we've never had before. But whether or not we have it depends on us and depends on how we choose to live life. We must live a life of dedication to God. So this book is Solomon's Reflections, the autobiography of his confusion of life. We must understand also as we go through this book and we read some of the things that it can be a bit confusing. It seems like he's almost fatalistic. You have to take what's being said in the sense that you would take some of the things that were mentioned in the book of Job. In the book of Job, there are some things that Job's friends said that God records. It doesn't mean that they were true. God's recording just some of their thoughts. And God here is allowing us to hear the thoughts that Solomon had based on his wrong understanding of life. We looked at the phrase there, under the sun. What does that mean? Solomon lived his life with under the sun thinking. In other words, his whole life was built upon this earth. He looked at everything from this perspective. He did not look at it with an eternal perspective, and that is why he was frustrated. One of his issues, and we're going to see a little bit of it this morning, is that Solomon got to the point where he didn't understand that God was in control of everything going on in his life. Now, he's like most of us. We have a head knowledge of that. We understand that, you know, if you asked anybody, God is in control, and we all understand that. We all would say we believe it. But there's not a practical application of that when we live our daily lives. For too many people, it's just something they say. They just throw it out there, and it's not really reality in the way that they live. He didn't live in such a way that would say that he understood that God was in control of his life. As he looked at the situations of life that were before him each and every day, he didn't understand that. Timing is important. At every time in our life, no matter what we are going through, we must understand that God is in control. Timing. We don't like God's timing because we try to control what is going in on our life, going on in our life, because we feel that we a certain end we want to get to, or we feel that there's a certain path that we need to take to get to, and we kind of do it apart from God, and it causes confusion in our life, and that's what Solomon was confused about. So timing. That is what this chapter is about, understanding God's timing and knowing what is going on in your life at any particular minute and understanding how we ought to respond to it. So with that timing aspect in mind, I want us to notice several things that we must keep in front of us. First of all, we must always understand where we are at. Now, if you look at the first few verses of that chapter, depending on how old you are, how many of you remember that there was a song that was sang many years ago, that not a Christian song, that had these words in it? How many of you remember that? Okay, you're either an old school person or you are listening to the old school stuff. And I'm not saying they were a spiritual group, and I have no idea why, but they grabbed those words and made a song out of it. So these words are well known. But we must understand what he's talking about. The repetition of the word time. There is a time to this. There is a time to that. There is a time to this. There is a time to that. And we may not be in each and every individual one of those times at this present moment, but there is things going on in our life, and there are things that are coming in our life, but we need to understand and have a recognition. What is going on in my life right now? He mentions several things in these first few verses. He talks about seasons. Seasons means a set time, an appointed time. In other words, there are things in our life that God has appointed, and that's just where we are at in life at that time. You ever notice how some people don't like the times in their life? You look at someone who, you know, they don't like their age, and when they're younger, they want to be older, and when they're older, they want to be younger. We're never satisfied with where we're at in our life. You know, the singles want to be married, and the married want to be single, okay? The couples want to have children, and the couples with children don't want to have children, all right? So it just seems like we're never content with that appointed place in our life. There are times. The word times means a specific event or experience or occasion. God brings those into our life. But he mentions that there are purposes to all of these things. Purposes literally means a delight or pleasure. See, that is the purpose of God. God brings things in our life, and in those things we can understand that there is a joy because we're serving God and we're understanding what he's doing in our life and we're accepting of what he's doing in our life, even if it seems to be unpleasant. What is he saying? How are we going to understand where we're at? We need to understand that there's a balance of the good with the bad. In other words, if you look at the things he mentions, there's typically something good that's mentioned and something bad. And there's a time for the good, and there's a time for the bad. And by the way, that is what we call life. We have to accept it. I'm not a musician. I can't sing, can't do anything. But I heard of a pastor, and he had the pianist can't come up, and he had her play a hymn and said, "Now, use only the white keys to play the hymn. Ignore the black keys." Now, I'm not a musician. I don't know. Would that mess that up? Jessica, would that mess it up? Would it? That must be how you play. I'm sorry. I meant Jed. Did I say Jed? I meant Jed. Okay, or Hannah. Hannah, you would never mess it up. So they played in the white keys, and he said, okay, he goes, "Now play the same song, but this time use the white and the black keys." And he said, "Which one do you like better?" Of course they're going to like the white and the black keys because it's complete. He said, that's kind of how life is. Life is made up of the things we enjoy, but it's also made up of some of the black keys, the things we don't enjoy. There's always good with bad. And let me say this, if good times are right now and things seem to be going well for you, let me encourage you. There's going to be some difficulties that eventually come. Say, well, thanks, I'm blessed. I was here for you. We have to know that. And by the way, just because that happens doesn't mean God's not there. God is a part of it. Now, if you're going through the black keys of life, let me encourage you. The good times are coming. The times when things calm down. The point is, let's accept where we're at and know that God is there with us. There's a time for all of these different things, and we have a trouble with it. And as he said in verse, I believe, 11, there is a beauty in the acknowledging of God's time. He hath made all things beautiful, where? In its time. You know what we do sometimes? We try to forge ahead. We try to get something in our life right now that God says, that's not for you right now. You know, I heard someone say this years ago, said, sometimes a lot of sin is we're getting things that God may be okay with us getting, but we get it before we're supposed to have it. I think of people that live together before they get married. That's a problem. You're trying to get the cart before the horse. That kind of lifestyle and doing those things is only good behind the commitment. But there's got to be, listen, we got to understand. Let's be content and understanding where we're at right now. Whether you're having good times, whether you're having difficult times, God is still in control. So we have to understand where we're at, but we also have to understand how we are to respond. Look at verse 12. Solomon says, I know that there is no good in them, but that for a man to rejoice and do good in life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. How should we respond to where we are at in life? Solomon mentions three ways that we can do that. He says, rejoice. It is good but for a man to rejoice. You say, wait a minute, I'm going through difficult times. What did Paul tell us in Philippians? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And listen, Paul, if you look at his situations in life, Paul couldn't rejoice because of the situations in life he was in. He rejoiced because he knew that God was in control. God still had something for him to accomplish, even in the midst of the difficulties that he had. And so wherever you're at in life, rejoice. I mentioned several weeks ago, there was a study and they were talking about people like, what do you want to accomplish in life? And everything they wanted revolved around the future. I'll be happy and I'll be joyful in the future. Listen, the future's not promised and you can't guarantee it. All you have is today. Right. And if you're saved, I don't care what's going on in your life. If you have a relationship with God, you can rejoice. Amen. What happens is sometimes to Christians, things start to happen and we get out of tune with what God is trying to do in our life and we lose our joy because we put our joy in situations and not in our relationship with God. And Solomon says, it is good for a man, but to rejoice. And then he says, reciprocate and to do good. What is the first thing people usually do when they're not excited about what's going on in their life? They kind of turn everything inward and they're selfish. I don't care what's going on in your life. You know what God wants you to do? God wants you to be a blessing and encouragement to others. God doesn't want you to cut yourself off and wall yourself up. By the way, that makes things worse. Makes things worse. And all we think about is ourselves. And all we think about is what's going on in my life, and it makes it worse. Let's reciprocate. Solomon had come to the conclusion that selfish living never satisfies. By the way, was Solomon doing good? No. Solomon was accumulating. I mean, accumulated wives, accumulated substance. He accumulated people. I mean, if he saw anybody industrious, he took them and put it in his armies and commissioned them to do things to build his kingdom. That's how he was. That's why the people had to come to him after he died, and they came to Rehoboam and said, hey, lighten up. Your dad is just driving us. Why? He was driving us for himself. Everything was about him. And he said, lay off and we'll serve you. And Rehoboam didn't get the memo and he made the same mistake and he lost, really, most of the kingdom. But Solomon finally realized, you know what? Just wherever we're at in life, let's do good. Let's do the right thing. Let's not just be selfish. And then he also said, received. He said, it is the gift of God. And so receive it as such. Yeah. You know, first song we sing, count your blessings. We don't. We get something, you know what we do? We say, well, that's fine, but I want something more. That's how we are. Why don't we receive what God has given to us? So understand how we use it. Number three, we have to understand who is in control. Verse 14. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it nor taken away from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. He said, listen, I had to come to my place to understand that no matter what's going on, God's doing it. I have to understand that he is in control. Not just a head knowledge, as I mentioned earlier. It is so easy to say, you know, yeah, God's in control of everything. But let me just ask you this. When you look at what's going on in your life and you're determining how you're going to respond to it, do we look at it and say, you know what? It's from God. He's in control. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that God brings everything, but God sometimes allows things in our life. And if we're going to respond to it correctly, whether it's prosperity, which kills people actually sometimes more than problems, how are we going to respond to it? God, you're in control. And I have to understand that. By the way, that takes faith. That takes faith. We have to have faith to understand that God does what he feels is best. Or God allows something in our life, and although we may not like it, it's best for us. Faith. Why do we struggle with that? Because I want to be, you know, the master of my destiny. I want to be the one deciding what's going on in my life. You know what? You and I don't know what's best for us. We don't. What we think is best for us sometimes is the worst thing for us. And sometimes God allows these things in our life because he's trying to mold us and make us into the individual that he wants us to be. And we fight it, and we fight it, and we fight it. It takes faith to believe that God's in control. And God does it because he wants us to fear him. What is fear? It's a reverential understanding that God is in control, and I'm accountable to him for everything that I do. And that leads us to the next point. Understand that you will answer one day. Look at verse 16. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment that wickedness was there, the place of righteousness that iniquity was there. He said, I'm looking down on this earth, and there's all this wickedness and all that's going on, and there's good and there's bad. And then he says in verse 16, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and every work. When he was looking under the sun, he saw what was going on. But when he realized, you know what? All this that's going on this earth, whether it's right or wrong. So, by the way, why is it sometimes that bad people get away with bad things and good people are judged? You know what he's saying? He says, that doesn't matter because I understand that one day everybody will stand before God. We will answer for how we're handling what God is doing in our life. We are going to stand before God for what we do with what he has given us at any time in our life. That's important because we saw in the first couple chapters that Solomon did not understand that there was a meaning to life. You see, because he was selfish, he didn't see the meaning of life. His meaning was all about him, and then he got confused and he got a little bit bitter, and I'm going to die and just leave it to the next person. But now he's starting to understand that we are going to stand before God. And if God judges everything, then that means that everything in this life is important and it has some meaning. It's not just that person got off with it because they knew this person. This happened to the good person because, no, everything we do has meaning. God is behind it. We're held accountable. So many of us, we want what we can grab right away. We don't think about the future. I read again a study. There was I heard someone talk about this, but I had heard it before. Many, many years ago, they did a study with these children, and they put them in a room, and they said, you all get one marshmallow. And they gave the kids a marshmallow. And they said, now, if you will wait for 10 minutes and not eat that one, we'll give you a second marshmallow. And they said, but if you want to eat the one that's in front of you, just go ahead, but you don't get a second one. And they said, okay, we'll start the 10 minutes now. And they all sat there and watched the kids. Some of the kids didn't even wait. They just grabbed the one marshmallow and down it went. They said, some sat there and looked at it for a few minutes like, I'm going to wait. And then they're like, no, I'm giving in. But he said, there was a group of them that they waited. Now, some of them were fidgety. Some of them struggled. But they waited, and after 10 minutes, they were rewarded, and they got their second marshmallow. It's funny, they followed these children into adulthood. And you know what they found out? The ones who didn't wait the 10 minutes were more prone to go to jail, not finish school, and be poorer than the ones who could wait. But see, we want everything right now. In our society, it's all about just today. We never think about the consequences of tomorrow. Think about the actions of some people. They make actions in a relationship. You know, you're flirting with somebody at work and you're married, and you know that's wrong. And in the moment, you'll make a decision based on the moment without any thinking towards the future. You make some bad decision that's going to affect your children, but you make it for the now. You got upset about something, and I'm going to do this, not thinking about the future. Well, the ultimate future we need to understand is that we stand before God. Now, I've mentioned it many times. We never stand before God for our sin. Thank God for that. Our sin was already judged on the cross. But you know, we stand before God for what we do for him. And so many of us are going to stand there, why didn't you do it? Well, you know, because I had this difficulty in my life and it kind of threw me off. Well, God said, I allowed that difficulty in your life. I wonder if God will show us, maybe not, but say, you know, if you would have handled that difficulty correctly, here's what you would have learned and here's what you would have found out on the other side. But we don't like that. We want everything right now. Now, as we think about the fact that everybody will answer to God, here's a flip side of the coin. If there was no reckoning before God in eternity, and if this life were all there is, then really evil wins and good seems to lose. But there's a meaning in the fact that there's a reckoning with God. And we'll give an account for how we handled everything that God brought our way. So I'm going through a tough time. You know, God's right there. God can help you get through that. God will teach you something, but don't reject it. And then lastly, as we look at all of this, we need to understand something, that only God can fulfill us. Look at verse 11. He says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart. What does that mean? What God is saying is here, that all of us have this eternal desire that God has given us that only he can fulfill. But what do? We look for fulfillment in all the places apart from God. And let me just share this with you. You're never going to find it. See, that's why we buck against God. That's why we rebel what he's doing against our life so many times. Because we have this thought, here's what I want in my life, and I feel like this is what's going to give that to me. And God's trying to rebuke us sometimes, and God's bringing things in our life to say, that is never going to fulfill you. Only I can fulfill you, and you need to let me work. You need to let me do what I'm doing in your life right now. Only God can fulfill it. You know, I don't really drink soda anymore. But I remember when we were younger, we'd be playing basketball on a hot day, and it's like, I don't care what the commercials say. And, you know, you're out there playing, and you're thirsty, and you grab a Coke. Can I just tell you, that does not refresh when you're playing basketball. You need something better, water. You know, it's like, I'm starving, and so you eat cotton candy. Cotton candy doesn't help. And judging by the way you act, that was a bad decision. Okay. We try to fulfill, and that's what we do in our spiritual life. I want this, and God says, no. I am the only one that can fulfill that void in your life. And we're trying to find it in everything else. And when something comes into our life that doesn't push us toward what we think, we reject it. The bottom line is, God's in control. He's the only one that's going to fulfill that place in your life. And until you get to that point, you're going to be frustrated. And you don't want to be like Solomon. Solomon got to the end of his life, a man that tried everything that he thought was best, a guy that tried to dominate and control everything in his life. And he gets to the end of his life, and he says, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. It's all worthless. Solomon, how'd you get out of control? How did you get to that place? Because he didn't understand God was in control. He didn't understand that everything he was looking for in life came only as a result of his relationship with God. Now, let me say this and I'm done. I have heard too many Christians who at one time had that. Man, the relationship with God, they felt like things were going well and they were close to God. And they walk away from God, they lose their joy, they lose everything that's going on. And they'll say, you know, things were better back when I was serving God. Things were better back when I was faithful to God. But it's too late now. It's never too late. It's never too late. What are you looking for in life? Everything you're looking for in life is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And don't let what's going on in your life today push you off of that. Let's stay faithful and let's trust Him. Let's all stand this morning.